codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron. One podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Back to school, back to school, to show daddy I'm no fool.
Oh, I hope school is going well for your children.
Did you make that song up?
It's Billy Madison.
Oh, I haven't seen Billy Madison in a really long time. Sorry.
Ooh, that's okay. Classic. Classic. Yeah, maybe you're in school.
We have so many kids in high school now. We're so old.
Three. In high school. One in college, one grade seven. Needless to say, speaking rates will be going up soon.
We have a lot of universities to make for. A lot of universities.
Because, you know, that makes, you know, so when I do gigs, got to raise the fee, I go on the road, and something came across my virtual desk, my eye, if you will, to start off the show today. Twitter user Alex T took a picture of an older woman sitting alone in a restaurant and said, "Never let a stranger sit by themselves. You'll be surprised at what tales they have to tell." And then took a picture of him sitting with her. I don't know who took that photo. And there's a picture of him posing with her as well. Now, it got retweeted a lot, almost 5,000 times, almost 25,000 likes. But myself and some other people and Sleepy Girl on Twitter had the best reply to this, which was, maybe she just wanted to enjoy a peaceful dinner alone and not have to make small talk with you and be put on display for retweets, maybe. And my answer was hell yes to her reply. I remember a long, long time ago in a restaurant with friends or family, whatever, and I saw somebody sitting by themselves. I'm like, oh, that's sad. And then I started going on the road.
Yeah.
And I like eating by myself.
I like eating by myself, too.
Yeah, and it's like, it's automatically pity somebody. It's fascinating. And maybe this person, like she was saying, Sleepy Girl had replied here, maybe she's just being kind because you came up to her and didn't want to. Most people will say, go away. You know, and sometimes it can be very weird.
I would actually
creepy.
Hate it.
Yeah.
If somebody came up to me while I was sitting and having a meal by myself and were like, "Are you okay? Like, are you like?" I would be offended by that.
This is the reason why I eat in my room. You know, in rooms, I don't want to be bothered. Well, and also, well, they frown on no pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure that's true, but what's wrong with eating by yourself at a restaurant?
Nothing.
What's wrong with being by yourself?
No, I have, like, nothing at all. That's
that
the thing.
That entire thing is like, first of all, like when we travel for work, we're often by ourselves.
Yeah.
And what's the alternative? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being in a hotel room and just chilling out and resting.
Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with that. But if the alternative to, let's say you go somewhere, you were in Germany a few weeks ago now, yeah, and you're someplace, let's say you'd never been there, which you have, but if you'd never been there, you're going to go for dinner. You might have a few of those meals by yourself. You might go out sightseeing by yourself. Why are we so afraid of spending a little time by ourselves? Is the alternative that's better to just sit in your hotel room because you're afraid someone's going to see you like doing stuff by yourself? I think it's weird.
I go to sports by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I go to ball games and hockey games by myself on the road. I love it. I remember the first time I ever saw a movie by myself. I was on the road for my first job that made me have me travel when I was a training manager at a company. And I saw We Were Soldiers in California.
Yeah.
And I went, and I mentioned somebody I saw it, and they're like, "Weren't you out there by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like,
I've seen movies by myself, gone to museums by myself. I think it's probably like many things. When you get that feedback, it's more about the person saying it, that they're too afraid to do something by themselves, so they think there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Also, an entrepreneur thing.
Another entrepreneur.
Yeah,
maybe it's the cat feces.
It is the cat.
That's
feces.
A callback to 2 weeks ago.
Makes us
ago,
less
folks.
Afraid to be by ourselves.
We don't have a focus.
Maybe
on
just
feces.
Leave people alone. Because I have news for you. If I was eating by myself and someone came over, said hi, and tried to take a selfie with me, they would get a very angry response.
You need to go
from me.
Yeah, so. You need to go. I don't. There's so kudos to those to the. The road warriors and the lone wolves, or in your own town, and you just feel like going out for frickin' dinner yourself.
Yeah.
We won't take a photo with you.
We
unless
won't.
You ask for one. And that's fine. But I also don't usually sit in a restaurant and eat. But I'll sit up at the bar.
I do.
But at the bar or like at Nobu, I'll sit up at the sushi counter in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with
I
that.
I do.
A Waffle House every day.
None
twice,
of anyone's business.
Twice on the weekend. All day, every day. I'll do Waffle House alone. I prefer Waffle House alone. Why? Because others ruin it.
I'm sorry, I just don't really like it.
Our children ruined it. You were just fine, thank you, at Waffle House. You pretend to like it.
Because I kept my mouth shut.
You pretend to like it. Oh, yeah. They do have an omelet. It's good.
I did. I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, and you let me have my moment. But our children are ruthless. We have one who doesn't like Shake Shack. We have multiple, if not all, who do not like Waffle House. Like, I don't... Yeah, alone from now on. And they give me my Waffle House in peace. Hooligans.
Are you done?
Yes. I'm not done. No, yes, I'm done.
So... Speaking of travel, another thing you do by yourself sometimes is go to airports. This story made me laugh because I think that it's one of those, like, maybe the stereotypes are stereotypes because they're true. So it says, this is from sfgate.com, Business Insider article, actually. So it looks like they put it on their site as well. It says, the vest vending machine at San Francisco's airport is getting mocked, but it rings up $10,000 in sales every month.
So sorry, did you say a vest vending machine?
Vest. Like,
not the best. A vest?
Vest. Like, you know, a shirt or a jacket without sleeves.
Like the Uniqlo ones. And, yeah, okay.
A vest. Hey. It said, Twitter had a field day making fun of San Francisco for a vending machine in the airport that dispenses Uniqlo.
There you go.
I want to say that brand name, right? Uniqlo vests. And so San Francisco Airport has a vending machine that dispenses vests, the unofficial uniform of venture capital investors. And Twitter has been poking fun all week. So like, so when we talk about, you know, Silicon Valley, like investors, it's the flip-flops, the t-shirts, jeans, shorts, and like, I guess that vest, right? Are you unique low vest, like the puffy vest?
Yeah.
Okay. I personally love puffy vests. I've owned one. So it says, but a spokesperson for the airport said, well, maybe it's not so funny because actually it makes $10,000 in sales every single month. Isn't that crazy? So the vests are about $50 a vest and the machine sells them about 200 of them every month.
People aren't ready for the San Francisco weather, right? They're not real. They think it's California.
Exactly.
Right. And it's California. It's Northern California.
It's cold in San
Francisco. It's almost equal. It's almost parallel to where we are in Toronto, how north it is. It's getting close. Yeah, it gets cold.
And I guess someone who thought they were being funny, like, took a picture of the machine, put it up on Twitter, and everyone was making fun of it. And then the airport's like, well, I don't know if you should be making fun of it because it's actually our most successful vending machine
that we've got
in the airport. And
I see the vending machines more and more in airports having more and more things, like specialized things. You got a vest one. You've seen the Iris photo booth that takes headshots for LinkedIn.
I've seen them in Vegas with the comfy shoes. Like, they're not really shoes. They're like slippers. And this idea that you're out at night in Vegas and then you're walking home. And so you're going to buy these little like slippers. And there was a machine once that I saw that was inside one of the casinos with the shoes. And I'm like, that's genius.
It's like vending machines have everything but what vending machines used to have, like the snacks and drinks. And now there's a cosmetic one. Best Buy has them on almost every airport, or the Source has them. It's like all the things you need sitting right there.
Yeah, it says the Japanese retailer started selling clothes out of vending machines in airports and malls across the U.S. last year. At the time, these so-called Uniqlo to-go machines stocked two of the most popular items. So they were already proved items that people wanted. It was the vest, the puffy vest. And oh no, at first it was a lightweight down jacket, which was $70, and a thermal heat t-shirt, which was $14.90. And now they've added the vest at $50, and apparently they're killing it with them.
It's cheaper than I thought it was. Well done.
I think it's amazing. I kind of want to go see the machine.
It's very
get
cool.
A vest. Speaking I like puffy vests.
Speaking of hipster venture capitalists, let's do a little three-peat on Uber here.
Oh, goodness.
Because they're always a good one.
We haven't talked about Uber in a while, actually.
This is from Reuters.
I don't know how to say that
site. Uber Technologies, Inc. Chief People Officer, Leanne Hornsey. Let's see what she has to say about things going on. Resigned. Oh.
Uh-oh.
In an email to staff on Tuesday, following an investigation into how she handled allegations of racial discrimination at the ride-hailing firm.
Was it Uber? I'm going to interrupt you. Was it Uber that had like the Jubers?
Everything, yes. Okay. No matter what you're about to say next, yes.
All right.
Hornsey is head of Uber's human resource department and one of the firm's top spokespeople on diversity and discrimination issues. She'd been in the role for 18 months as the company was rocked by claims of widespread issues of gender discrimination and sexual harassment. The allegations raise questions about Chief Executive Dara Khosrowshahi's efforts to change the toxic culture of the firm after he took over in August last year from everybody's friend Travis. They praised Hornsey in an email to employees, which was seen by Reuters. It said, incredibly talented, creative, and hardworking, and gave no reason for her departure.
She just wanted off the ship.
So Hornsey acknowledged in a separate email to her team, to a team also, that her exit comes as a little bit out of the blue for some of you, but I've been thinking about this for a while. She gave no reason for resignation, has not responded to requests for comment about the investigation. The allegations against her in Uber's HR department more broadly were made by an anonymous group that claims to be Uber employees of color, members of the group told Reuters. They allege Hornsey has used discriminatory language and made derogatory comments about Uber Global Head of Diversity and Inclusion, Bernard Coleman, and denigrated and threatened former Uber executive Bozoma St. John, who left the company in June.
Flying out the door.
This person ultimately was the reason behind St. John's departure from Uber. St. John joined Uber from Apple in June 2017, but left only a year later to join Endeavor.
We like tease a little bit about these assumptions about generations and stuff, but can you imagine telling our grandparents that someone who was fired or quit their job after a year and a half had been thinking about leaving for a while? Do you know what my grandfather would have said? Like, who did the same job for 40 years? Like, oh, you've been thinking about that for a while, huh? A year and a half in. That must be nice. Yeah, that's a really long while. You're really a
lifer.
Put a lot of consideration into that one. That's crazy.
Keep reaching for the stars.
Also on the Uber front, this is from TechCrunch.com. It says Uber partners with Cargo to help drivers make money by selling stuff to riders. Because what do I want more than an Uber driver who talks to me, but an Uber driver who's trying to sell me something?
Upsell, add-on sale, cross-sell.
Uber has teamed up with Cargo, a startup that makes it easy for rideshare drivers to sell goods to their passengers. So basically, Satan, the worst thing I've ever heard.
Hey, you want a watch? Cargo. I got watches. Need a watch. But some Purell. What's a Purell? It's pretty dirty back there. A buck a squirt.
How about a vest? Cargo works by giving drivers free boxes filled with goods like gum, phone chargers, and snacks. Snacks in your Uber. To sell to passengers from the center of the car console. Cargo, which has partners with brands like Kellogg's, Starbucks, and Mars Wrigley Confectionery, provides these boxes to drivers for free. Well, isn't that nice of them? The only requirement is that drivers must have at least a 4.7 rating and be relatively active on the platform. Cargo founder and CEO Jeff Kripe told TechCrunch, each Cargo box comes with free samples and items for purchase because you're not going to know what a gum is. Drivers earn at least a dollar per order, even if what the rider gets is free. It's terrible.
You want a wet nap?
Starting today, Uber drivers in San Francisco...
Somebody puked an hour ago back there.
And Los Angeles can pick up Cargo boxes at one of Uber driver support locations, blah, blah, blah. Since launching in 2017, about 7,000 drivers have made more than $1 million. On an annual basis, drivers can earn an average of $1,200 a year, while the top 10% of drivers make $3,600 a year in income. Look, I hate this so much. I hate it.
I can increase...
I hate it.
Uber and their drivers' revenue by 20%.
If they don't sell something to me.
No, immediately. Immediately.
Ready? What is it?
Just one option, a slider bar that says quiet ride.
So they don't talk to me.
Which means the driver will not talk to me. I would slide that every single ride. And I will pay the surcharge. I'll pay the 20% surcharge on it. There's my surge pricing right there. Quiet pricing. 20% immediately to quiet. And then an extra 5% if you promise not to sell me something.
Yeah, I really hate this.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I've gotten into a few Lyfts like that because we don't use Uber, but when we use Lyft, a couple of super drivers, well, they'll have a couple charging cables for you if you need one, just hanging right there, nicely organized.
They're not selling you the charging cable.
Yeah, no, some mints, you know, maybe a water. Yeah, I've seen that. I've never taken them up on it. I don't trust that. Car mints. Car mints aren't my thing.
Eat food while you're in an Uber. It's
But one of our friends on I can't remember who I'm not sure who it was. I have two names in mind, but I can't remember who it was. Said, this is my worst nightmare. It was a screenshot of their Uber driver coming to get them, and it said Uber driver rated very highly on conversation.
Yeah.
They pride themselves.
It's my worst nightmare as well. Like, I don't want them to talk to me. You ask me where I'm going, but you already know. It's in the app.
Yeah, here's how it works. When Allison and I land in Vegas and we hop in a cab, is if the person talks, I take the conversation. That's just our rule. It's not a, we didn't, we ever agree to it.
He does it in elevators, in,
yeah,
in restaurants.
It. I'll take the brunt. But I don't want to talk to somebody usually.
And sometimes when we're in a restaurant, I see it coming. Like if we're sitting in like a, like if we go to Nobu and we're sitting at like a bar, we said it's like at the sushi bar, right? So we're sitting there and I can hear other people talking and something about the conversation that's happening like to the side of us is something that I know Scott wants to talk. Like I can tell.
This happened last time.
Like he's ready to interject. Like they're talking about something that he really wants to, like it's either a menu item or they're going to a show that he really wants to talk about or they're trying to decide what hotel, like something. And I can feel his body like tense. In like preparation of engaging.
He's going to jump in.
Of engaging these people in conversation. He does it in elevators too. If someone is talking about something, I can feel his body tense. Like he's getting ready to engage. And I just have to like put my hand on his shoulder and be like, just don't. Like, don't. Yeah. And he knows right away exactly what I'm talking about. Like, he's never like, what do you mean? He knows. I'm like, don't talk to them.
This
like,
last
don't.
Time, this last time, I think I was eating the steak that they had there and she was having this wonderful crab dip. I didn't move really. I didn't.
Oh, no.
I didn't
you
turn.
Moved like a mountain.
All I hear was, nope. which is her preventing me from turning over to the conversation.
No, like stop talking to people. He likes people so much, and everyone thinks it's me that likes people. And you are all wrong. It's Scott. He talks to people in elevators. He talks to people. We make friends everywhere we go.
You've been warned. All right.
You would buy something from an Uber driver.
Oh, well, it depends. What is he selling? Is he selling Shake Shack, Waffle House? What are we doing here?
Gosh.
What you got? This is from St. Louis Today. This is the creepy story of the week. St. Louis Uber driver has put video of hundreds of passengers online. Most have no idea.
Mine would be a lot of eye rolling as you talk to people.
Just see house. Oh.
Again.
On a recent Saturday night, two women in their early 20s called an Uber from Ballpark Village in downtown St. Louis. Within minutes, Jason arrived driving a black Chevy Silverado that climbed into the pickup's back seat.
It's already creepy.
Illuminated by purple lights. The driver, a bearded man in his 30s, what are you going to throw a bearded for, was friendly. The woman asked where he went to high school. They joked about friends. They were going to meet at a bar across town. But there was something the woman didn't know. The driver was streaming a live video of them to the internet, and comments from viewers were pouring in. The blonde is a 7. A brunette's a 5. Someone with a username Drunken Eric commented that. She doesn't sit like a lady, though, another viewer added. This is creepy, said another. The women are among hundreds of St. Louis area Uber passengers who've been streamed online without our knowledge by their driver, Jason Gargak, 32, of Florissant. Gargak has driven about 700 rides in the area since March through Uber, plus more with Lyft. Nearly all of them have been streamed to his channel on Twitch, a live video website popular with video gamers where Gargak goes by the name Just Smurf. Passengers include children, drunken college students, unwitting public figures such as local TV news reporters, and Jerry Cantrell, lead guitarist of the band Alice in Chains.
But what's the legality there?
I will get to that momentarily. First names and occasionally full names are revealed. Homes are shown. Passengers have thrown up, kissed, talked trash about relatives and friends, and complained about their bosses in Gargak's truck. All the while, an unseen online audience watches, evaluating women's bodies, judging parents, and mocking conversations. Gargak sees nothing wrong with it. To him, it's a form of virtual people watching, one that can bring an income. I try to capture the natural interactions between myself and the passengers. What a Lyft and Uber ride actually is, he said in a recent interview. But his channel raises legal and ethical questions about privacy as technology allows videos of unsuspecting people to spread online for instant worldwide viewing. Gargak, a bearded army veteran in a baseball hat, speaks into the camera mounted on his windshield while he waits outside Ballpark Village. He had gone 30 minutes without passengers and his stream was losing viewers. Quote, this better be expletive content. I swear to God, this better be censored content. That's all I'm saying, Gargak says as the two women approach. I mean, the blonde girl looks kind of cute. If they're together, the blonde is cute. The one who ordered is not. His stream shows a woman getting in the car. They compliment the purple LED lights, not knowing they serve to illuminate passengers for the camera. They said they're going to a bar across town, and one of the women tells Gargak she has a crush on a friend she's going to meet. I really have this issue of telling Uber drivers my whole life story, she says. It's okay, Gargak replies, laughing.
Get filmed by an Uber driver saying anything about anyone?
You.
That's right. Also, this guy sounds like he would really be into that cargo idea and he could sell some stuff.
Yes. So let's get to the legalities of this. He says he hasn't broken any laws because Missouri is a one-party consent state. There may be some legal resources for his passenger, recourses for his passenger, but in any case, it would face obstacles, says Chip Stewart, a professor of Texas Christian University who has published research on the privacy implications of live streaming. Missouri does not criminalize parties who record their own interactions unless it includes a photo or video of someone who is nude or partially nude without that person's consent.
You should be all the way naked for it to be illegal?
Or partially. So, at the end of this whole thing, he was let go being from using Uber and Lyft. The companies, after contacted, first suspended him and then totally removed him from it. And so there's your voyeuristic Uber channel on Twitch story. Creepy. It's
terrible.
Please don't do this.
Yeah, please don't.
All right. So this is kind of a made up word. So let's play the theme anyways.
Made up word. Don't make any sense. Made up word. Don't mean no offense. Made up word. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness? Made up. They're
made up. But it's a different kind of one. It's kind of a story.
All right, I'm ready.
Here's your story. It says, my boyfriend and I have been together for over 4 years. Change the page. He has two daughters that I just adore. I met them about a year into our relationship and about a year after that I was pretty much considered part of the family. We may never get married, but I would totally say yes, he's my Prince Charming, which causes a lot of struggle with the labels in our household. I'm not their stepmom because we're not married. They have a mom, so a mom is not a word they will ever use. I love them like my daughters, but the word makes them a little uncomfortable, so I call them my kittens. Because my name is Kat, very early on in meeting them, they dubbed me Kitty Cat Meow Meow. A long name, to be sure. Recently, maybe about a year ago, they renamed me Meowma. The blend of kitty phrase and maternal label, meow plus ma equals Meowma.
I like Meowma. That's cute.
It may seem silly to send a made-up word to your podcast that no one outside of our family uses. However, I am forever torturing them with this podcast on long car rides and my favorite while doing the dishes. I thought a shout-out to the two cutest word makers in the world may be warranted from Kat Smith. Kat, you are right. It is not silly. And we
it's
love
fantastic,
this.
Kat. This is my
favorite made-up word we've ever had. So, Kat, we are happy to send you a book to you and to your two wonderful kittens who made up words. And she was spurned by this to send it because I talked about Dr. Seuss and Aiden, our oldest, calling me Dr. Seuss instead of stepdad. So, thank you, Kat. That is wonderful. We will send it.
I have an aunt who now I call her by her first name, but when I was little. She used to sing Pop Goes the Weasel, and I called her Pop Goes the Weasel until I was like at least 14 years old. I called her Pop Goes the Weasel. So.
And our niece, Poppy, calls you Auntie Alex.
Yeah, Auntie Alex, which I love because she didn't say Allison. I'm just like, we're just rolling with it. Auntie Alex is perfect.
I believe one of my buddy Dave's, his kid calls me, I think it's Uncle Pete.
Yeah, it's great.
Whatever works, whatever happens.
Oh, love.
Call me what you want, just don't call me late for supper. Great, great movie line, so... this boy's life. Thank you. Anyway, thank you, everybody. If you have a made-up word you find, you see, it's ridiculous, funny, awesome, send it to us on any platform. If we use your word, we'll send you a book of your choice, one of the five we have written. Thank you all. Again, happy fall.
Thank you, guys.
Next week.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.